This is the third morning service on February 9th, 2020. The message title is Blessing Wrapped in Hardship. The scripture passage is from Book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 through 37. The message is delivered by Pastor Hong. Let us look at today's passage from Book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 through 37. Book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 through 37. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the people of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. When I was little, I thought there were two types of lives. The life with hardship and the life without hardship. And if one becomes richer, I thought that the life will have less hardship. If once one becomes rich, there will be less hardship. That was my belief when I was little. But we all know that even living a life with my own privacy and happy life with the family, we still face pains and hardships in our lives. But I thought that maybe I needed more money to have less hardships in my life. So we envy those who are rich. But if we look around in this world, we know some rich people who suffer hardships. And that happens In fact, quite often. So being rich cannot make someone avoid the hardship. Or even the poor people do not necessarily have double of the hardships. And it's regardless of social positions or education or the environment someone is brought up, everyone experiences the hardships. In addition to that, there is so much variety of hardships the human being experience. As a Christian and a pastor, I would like to help those who are going through the hardship. But in many cases, I face that I cannot help them in a practical way. So the King Nebuchadnezzar, in the passage we just read, fell into a hardship. He was an extraordinary ruler and man of power and a symbol of the wealth. But hardship did not avoid him. And his hardship was so tough. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 32 and verse 33. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. He fell from the top of the tops to the bottom of the bottoms. But when we look at his hardship, we understand that there was a reason that he had to go through this difficulty. God, the only God, taught him many, many times how he could avoid the hardship. God's word was not ambiguous. It was very clear. But the king was so stubborn. He did not listen to God's advice, and the hardship came upon him. So it was a hardship he could have avoided. He could not blame anyone else but himself. Looking at King Nebuchadnezzar reminds me of my children. As a father, I say to them, don't go that way because there's a blind alley and there will be a trap. So come this way. I repeat many times, but they never listen to me. And somehow, they take the path which I advise them not to go, and they fell in a trap, and they come back crying. After all, they are my children. They are coming from me. And I'm a liar telling them that I used to listen to your grandfather and grandmother better than you do. And this is what we find in ourselves, the foolishness of a human being. And we never understand until we fall in a trap that what my father said was right. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, there was a clear reason why he was going through the hardship. But in the case of Job in the Old Testament, it's very difficult to understand the reason of his hardship. So in our life, we also face the hardships which we do not really understand why. And in the book of Job, Job's three friends make right arguments as if they've all understood the pains of Job. And they even try to persuade him to repent. Their words are not totally wrong, but for Job, their words were adding more pains on him. There was no love or consideration for him. What they should have done was only a little word, but to pray for him with love, and then to wait with a Job. And they should have thought that the similar unreasonable hardship might come upon them one day. And they should have get closer to Job to be with him. But we also do similar to what these friends have done to Job. As a pastor, as a friend, as a colleague, as a father, as a husband, we tend to try to make a right argument instead of just to get closer to be with the person who is going through the hardship. But in any case, there's always hardship in our life. There's no life without hardship. We cannot avoid it in our life. In Genesis chapter 3, we see where the hardship is coming from. It was not something that suddenly happened in a human being's life. It is the consequence of man's sin. So the hardship, fundamentally, is coming from man's sin. We don't have time to read Genesis chapter 3. I recommend you to read it at home. Because of man's sin, the sufferings of mankind increased, and relationship became another pain, and even childbearing or bringing them up that should have been a joy sometimes become a hardship for the parents. And we have to work hard to get the food to survive. And we all know that there is no life without pain or hardship. But there is one thing that we should be happy about. God gives grace that should not keep our hardship only as a hardship. God uses even the hardship to open a path for us. If hardship only ends up with hardship, our life would be so miserable. But loving God uses the hardship that is brought in by our sin would not make make it end as just the hardship. He opened a new way to give us a grace, blessings, healings, hope, and encouragement. We can learn something from the Nebuchadnezzar, who had many problems in his life. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 34 through 37, where Daniel pointed out before Nebuchadnezzar faced the hardship. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Nebuchadnezzar, from chapter 4, verses 34 to 37, at the end of the hardship time, the Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 34, he raised his eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me. For the glory of my kingdom, my advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. So the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar did after going through the hardship was to raise his eyes to the heaven. And Daniel's advice, if he had listened to Daniel's advice, he could have avoided the hardship he was going through. And he remembered that. And he raised his eyes to heaven. Then his sense was restored. When we believe in God, our sense is restored. Our reason is restored. And using that sense of reason, we acknowledge Heavenly God and we praise Him, and we are made humble in front of God. And Nebuchadnezzar understood why he had to go through such severe hardship. And he praised God. He found God's blessings wrapped with hardship. And the change that happened to Nebuchadnezzar was what the Bible wanted us to see. In the Bible, we find those who find God and God's blessings in the midst of their hardships. There are someone like Nebuchadnezzar who brought the hardship for their own wrongdoings, but also like someone like Job, who faced the hardship that was not explainable. And in the Gospel of Luke, we read a parable of Jesus about a prodigal son. Book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. The prodigal son, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." This prodigal son could have blamed his father for giving away part of his the portion of inheritance to him. Instead, this son remembered his father's grace, and he understood the love of his father. Jacob in the Genesis was something similar. Jacob's grandfather was Abraham, who was a man of faith. And his father was Isaac. So he was brought up in a very orthodox education of faith in the family. But he did not hesitate to do anything but for his benefit. He cheated his father and brother, and at the end he had to escape from his brother who was trying to kill him. And he went to the wilderness and he had to sleep with a stone as his pillow, and he was afraid that he might be attacked by wild animals. He fell in the bottom of his life, and he was about to go to his uncle's home, but he was not sure whether he would be accepted by the uncle. So the hardship Jacob was going through was brought by his sin. And such foolish Jacob, from him we can learn something. Let's look at Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 through 22. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob found God in his hardship. He was still in the midst of his hardship, but he found God there. He understood, God knew that he was going through this hardship. The next example is Joseph. Differently from Jacob or the prodigal son, he encountered a 13-year hardship that he couldn't explain why. He was like Job. He was sold as a slave to Egypt, and he was framed in Egypt, and he was put into a prison. And what did he say? What did the Bible say about him in the prison? Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Do you understand this? What is his success? Is this really a success? Even if he were successful, he was still in the prison. I'm not sure we can call it really success. He didn't do anything wrong. He did what was right. He was put into a jail. But in the prison, he found one and only God who created heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." He was in the midst of a hardship that could not be explained. But he found God's hand and his plan. Those who face the hardship do not necessarily find God's blessings wrapped with hardship. But the prodigal son of Jacob, Joseph, and King Nebuchadnezzar understood God's blessings that were wrapped with a hardship. And I'm sure they will agree to say this word in the Psalm 119, verse 71. "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees." It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. There are two types of lives. It's not a life with hardship versus a life without hardship. Because there is no life without hardship. It's a common in every life. Then, what are those two types of life? One is the life to learn God's decree through the hardship, to discover God's will in the hardship, and to confess that one was happy because of the Lord, even in the midst of hardship, or the life, and or to understand God's blessings, healings, hope, or encouragement through through a hardship. And the another type of life is not to understand God's blessing through the hardship. And the Psalm 119 verse 71 and the life of Nebuchadnezzar reminds me of Psalm 49 verse 20. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. What differentiates man from the beast is not whether the man has wealth. What differentiates man from the beast is whether or not to understand God's grace and blessings and hope in Trinity God through the hardship. King Nebuchadnezzar understood. What about us? Without hardship does not mean blessings. Hardship does not mean unhappiness. Even with hardship, when we understand God's plan, God's sovereignty, God's hand, God's kingdom, and His grace, that becomes a blessing for us and happiness for us. And that's the beginning. Beginning of a life where we could find the blessings. When we face the hardship, let us pray to God, thinking what God might be wanting to teach me or correct me, or where did I make a mistake to take a wrong path? Why He allows the series of events to happen in my life? And I would like us to be the ones to trust in God and the Lord Jesus. Even if we doubt God's eye, God's love, or His fairness, let us trust in God who leads us to His blessings. The Trinity God. Let us pray.